All right, let's get started with the latest Minnesota goodbye and dive into the emails and see what we got here. Here we go. First one from Marie says, hey, since it's impossible to get through on no phone screener Friday, here's what she wants to say. Now that it's getting nice out and people are out walking, friendly reminder to people, when you're walking on a street with no sidewalks, the rule is you walk against traffic on the right, on the left side of the road. I keep getting weird looks and I'm thinking, I'm right, bitch, you're wrong. Yeah, you do. I learned that when I was a kid in Boy Scouts.
It's for the safety, so you don't get like nailed from behind by a car.
The funny thing is you ride your bicycle on the right side of the road and you walk against traffic.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, yeah, okay.
Yeah, fair.
I think in your neighborhood you can kind of do whatever you want to, but for the most part, yeah. Because people should be going slowly enough through your neighborhood.
But there's always an ass. Always.
Yep. Well, I've yelled at a couple of people. Usually it's kids. Honestly, it's kids. And I got yelled at by a neighbor one time because I was apparently going through too fast. She was standing in her yard and she said, slow down. And she was right.
Yeah.
I was going way too fast. I was probably going, I don't know, 80. 10 over the same, maybe something like that. just a reminder. Okay. Good reminder. Thank you. Next one. This is so weird that I'm not, I was going to bring this up on the radio, but it's so weird that I don't want to bring it up on the radio.
In what way?
It's just gross.
Oh.
So, Dave and team, I'm hoping you guys can clear something up that left me absolutely dumbfounded this week. My husband and I were grocery shopping, and like clockwork, somewhere between the produce and the meat section, my husband gives me the look and said, I need to go. Then he proceeds to run off to the bathroom. He eventually meets my daughter and I in the pickle aisle, and the first thing out of his mouth is, I feel sorry for the guy who's going to find that. I left an iceberg in there. I brushed it off thinking it was a joke, but later that night, I asked him if he really didn't flush the toilet. It's then that I found out this is a thing. Apparently, if guys have an impressive poop, they leave it in the toilet for the next guy to witness. He told me this happens frequently, where he will walk into a stall and find someone else's trophy turd that they left for all others to see. I figured there was no one better than Jenny and Fallon and the listeners of KDWB to help me figure out if this is a legit thing or this is just more proof that my husband is weird. I will jump in first as a guy and say, I've never heard of that. It's disgusting. It's rude. It's impolite. It's immature. It's immature to the point where it makes me a little concerned that your husband would be like so thrilled with his poop. That's disgusting and rude, and I'm sorry. I don't think it's the least bit funny, and I don't like it.
I'm laughing because I've never heard of this before in my life. I mean, of course you've gone into a stall where someone either didn't flush or it didn't go all the way, but I am not a guy, so I guess I know I would state as a woman, and same as you who messaged us, that there's no way that that is something we do. So I will say any guy I've dated, they've never mentioned it. Jake has never mentioned that. I've never heard of that. I'm sure like anything, maybe it is a thing we just don't know about. Maybe there's a subreddit about it, but it sounds so gross to me. And I'm so happy that's not even a rumored thing that women do.
No, I know that some people like send pictures to their, like Corey Foley used to send pictures of her poop to her sister. And I thought that was gross. I would never do that. That's just gross. I don't think there's anything funny about that. And I'm like, I'm sorry that I'm not laughing along with you, but I think that your husband is like if you're so enamored with your size of your poop that you got to leave it there. That's not right. I would wonder what other areas your husband is immature in or rude in, because I think maybe. That's rude. And no guy is going to walk into the bathroom and go, damn, they're going to go, what fucking idiot didn't flush the toilet.
I think you're right.
Okay, then on to the next email here. By the way, send your thoughts on that one because Jessica, I don't mean to hurt your feelings and I hope it doesn't hurt your feelings, but that is the way I see it.
I would say only send them if you know that this is a thing. If not, I don't know that we want to extend the conversation on it too far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll do one day of replies and see what happens. The next one is a poop email too, so I'm going to skip that one for now. Back to it later.
Double poop day.
This one is about, it says Minnesota goodbye, inappropriate kid comment.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember to put it in context here. We were talking about a woman wrote in and she said, I'll be out with my daughter and I'm pregnant and somebody will yell downtown, They'll wolf whistle, or they'll say, you look good, or want to hit that, or want to put a baby in you, or whatever. Yeah. And they don't know what to say. And we said, we had a big discussion about this on the radio Friday.
Because she doesn't want to say something like flip someone off in front of her children. You know what I mean? Like, she can't do this standard. She wants to insult them without doing something bad in front of her kids.
This person says, when I was young, I used to yell out to people, whether in a car or at the state fair, if they were smoking, and I would say, you're going to die soon. I was probably like 4 years old. I thought I was doing them a favor because they didn't realize it was bad for them. Clearly not the best thing to yell to people.
Oh, that was for probably a different topic.
Okay, it sounds like it.
That
yeah.
was when we talked about embarrassing things that your kid has said.
Oh,
that's, yeah, different.
Gotcha. Next one. Hi, Dave, Fallon, Jenny in the Morning Zoo. First, I want to thank you for being such a big part of my life for the past 15 years. This past year in particular has been unexpectedly hard, but having you all to listen to every day has made the tough times a little brighter, and it truly means so much. Thank you.
I'm sorry it's been a rough year for you. That's awful.
Anywho, I was walking in downtown Stillwater a few weeks ago, went into a new store they have on Main Street. I can't remember the name. Cool vintage store that sold mostly old concert tees. Now, I'm not one to buy used or vintage clothing, but my husband is a big concert tee fanatic, and I was very impressed with the selection. Sounds like a cool store. While I was waiting for him to finish his browsing, I was peeking around the women's tops and came across an old KDWB Jingle Ball shirt. See attached. I've never been to a Jingle Ball, not for lack of trying. So I'm not sure what year this shirt was from, but the top acts were Ed Sheeran, Train, and Ellie Goulding. Wow, what a lineup. The biggest surprise to me is they were selling this t-shirt for $18. My question for you guys, what are your thoughts on this price for an old Jingle Ball tee? And would you buy an old and very used concert tee from a concert you never went to for anywhere between $15 and $50? I'm used to buying used shirts at garage sales for a quarter. For reference, I'm only 27. Maybe it's an unpopular opinion to not want to spend money on these, but who knows? I would love to hear your thoughts. From your BFF, Rachel, and in Hugo. And yes, Fallon, lots of Rachels listen to the show. And yes, Dave, you're huge in Hugo. Love you all lots, and keep the laughs coming. That is from Rachel. I have to open the image of this.
I'm 99% positive it's 2012. I believe it was my first Jingle Ball, because I remember Train, Ed Sheeran, and Ellie Goulding. And that was before Ellie Goulding and Ed Sheeran had their weird dating, breakup, cheating on situation, because he stood side stage and watched her perform.
I believe you're right, because Psy was there, and Psy did Gangnam Style,
yeah.
And that was he did the same song twice. Also, I'll tell you why I remember. I think it was your first or second Jingle Ball, because One Republic was there, and you did Fallon's Hot Dish, where you fed One Republic your hot dish that you made.
They must have been at two then, because I didn't start doing that until my third year there, I think. So the first year was that one, my 2012. 2013, I think, was the Miley Cyrus, Robin Thicke year. And I think the next year after would have been my Hot Dish, Backstreet Boys, Nick Jonas, One Republic year.
Just figured out it was December 2012, because it was Tuesday, December 4th. And if I look at December 2012, the 4th was on a Tuesday. So that is exactly when it was.
Okay.
I don't know. I think if you want to buy shirts like that, I think it's kind of cool. I don't know that I would personally buy an old concert tee that I never went to, but I still treasure some of my old concert tees.
I would if it was cool and unique, like a really cool design, or like a really funny vintage one, like a Hannah Montana concert one. But I would, I feel bad saying this, but I wouldn't buy like a radio station Jingle Ball kind of vintage tee, especially not for $17.
Yeah.
I bet you can find those at Goodwill for $3.
Okay, next one is not necessarily a Minnesota goodbye, so I'm going to skip it and maybe we'll come back to it. It is about buying books with swear words in them for kids, but let's go to this one. I'm 33, recently bought my first home, moved in a few weeks ago. This comes as a huge life event after years of saving. I've been officially moved in for about a week. It's just me and the two kitties.
Aww.
And I take a lot of pride in them, in being the breadwinner of our family.
You should.
Here's the thing. I've been noticing it's been tough to settle in. Of course, with a new home comes a new routine, new sounds, etc., but I kind of had it in my head that I'd be so stoked to finally move in that I'd be filled with joy. It got me thinking this may be more common than I realize. After all, the human brain does have a natural aversion to change. So two things. Wondering if you have any suggestions for new home rituals or ways to settle in, feel grounded, calm the mind, etc. So let's start with that one. I don't quite relate to that one. I think unpacking and settling in and moving everything in, but she's been there a few weeks. So I'm going to guess she's already done that one. I would say one of the things that makes a house feel like a home is cooking.
Mm-hmm.
When I go to Colorado, I really enjoy cooking in the house in Colorado because it sits empty 90% of the year. And I really enjoy filling it with smells and sounds of cooking and bacon frying. So I would say make sure you're cooking and maybe do something like make popcorn a couple of times a week. So it'll smell like something delicious mm-hmm. in your home. Cookies, maybe.
I always say, you know, they always say it's what makes a home or the people in it or whatever. So I feel like your cats are your thing. For me, the two houses I've purchased, I moved into them with someone. So I think maybe that made it a little bit easier for me for it to feel like home. But maybe having like a little housewarming would be nice. And if it's your first home you purchased, you should be proud of that. Tell people, don't bring me a gift. I don't need anything. And then just maybe have some like light desserts or apps and drinks and like be there with your friends. And maybe that'll like break in some new memories in that home. And that would be like a good way to start.
Yeah, I think the housewarming party sounds like a good idea. I think that people do make a home and memories create a home. And I think that memories are that's still early in the game. But I'm sorry that you're feeling that way because I would really hope that when you moved in, you would get this feeling like, I'm home. I'm a homeowner now. So it'll come. I think it'll come.
Is there a scent that reminds you of someone you love, like your mom or your grandma? You could get a candle like that and light it. I don't know. Little things.
Are there other life events that you anticipated for months or years, and when you got there, you had a different reaction than you envisioned? No, I don't think so. No, I can't think of anything like that.
Yes and no, but like for different reasons. Like and obviously having a kid was I envisioned all these things. What I didn't envision for me when I first had Olive was like how much peace and calm I felt. Because I'm not that way. I'm not like a calm, peaceful person. So it was actually strange to me to feel that way. I remember when I got married the first time, when it was over, I felt like sad. Not because of the marriage. I was sad because I loved planning the wedding and like doing this stuff together with like my partner. And then there was almost like there wasn't something to look forward to anymore.
I wonder how common that is.
And that sounds, and I don't want that to sound bad. I understand that it was the marriage, but it was like you planned this fun event. You had so much fun with your friends. It was almost like a hangover, like a life hangover. So it wasn't sadness that I was like, now I'm just with the person I love. It was just like, oh, I want to have another big fun party like that sometime. And then I'll be honest, from the second one, I didn't feel like that, but we didn't like, I think because I'd planned so much for my first one, the second one I was like, eh, you know what I mean? We were like, let's just have some people and have fun.
Well, can I make a comparison? I think it's like Christmas. I mean, if you're really into Christmas mm-hmm. and you do the tree and you do your yard and you put a big inflatable Rudolph in your yard and you put lights up and then Christmas is like parties and you'll have the family over and then Christmas Eve and you do the all matching PJs and then Christmas Day at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you go, fuck.
Yeah.
I think it's probably kind of the same thing. I don't know, but I have never really had an event in my life where I said, oh, that wasn't as cool as I thought it was going to be.
It could be something where it's better than it was, though. It's sure. just kind of like what it was you didn't expect to feel how you felt.
Let's move to this one. This is probably perfect for the Minnesota goodbye because it's a little bit too political to put on the radio. So let's just see what happens here. I got a topic that's been heavy on my heart and mind because I simply don't understand, so what better place to get it off my chest? A sixth grader brought home a fiction book from our public school and showed his parents the language in it. The word fuck appears 10 times. The word fucking appears 8 times. Again, sixth grader. The word dick 3 times, dickheads 2 times, shit 2 times, and ass once. 2 meetings were held with the school, one which was with the school board, and they all voted the book should remain in circulation. I am not a book banner, but how can the school district use taxpayer money to purchase this? I am attaching a picture of the school board's rationale. Their body language, including that of the superintendent, also speaks volumes. From a common sense approach, I would have thought they would have acknowledged this is not appropriate. Pull it from the shelves and move on. The school board also received 4 new members so disappointed that nobody had the guts or sense to disagree. I'll stop there for a second. A lot of the time, it is very hard to disagree when you're in the minority.
Mm-hmm.
It just is, because you don't want to argue. You might not be a good arguer, and you don't want to stand out or insult the other people, and you don't want to lose an argument either.
Yeah.
I think a lot of time people are hesitant to bring up an argument because they don't want somebody to, on the other side, be a better arguer and make you look stupid.
Yeah.
But I do think that you absolutely can disagree with this. You have a right to disagree with anything, I think.
I think so.
Okay.
Except for, well, I mean, yeah, I guess you have a right to disagree with anything, yeah.
I'll conclude by saying that the F word is my go-to swear word. I'm not a prude. I just believe it's inappropriate for the school to purchase and knowingly keep this book in our school. If folks are interested, here's the name of the book, Heartstopper Volume 1. Then they show a picture of the school board, and there is a screen behind the school board members during the meeting, and I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
The headline on the screen is like a PowerPoint show. It says, why do we buy books with that language? Here are the bullet point answers. The ultimate goal is to get kids reading. Kids want to read authentic books, usually about kids around their age. The reality is that some kids hear, see, and use that kind of language, whether it be with friends, online, or internally. We do not promote or allow that kind of language at school, but we recognize that language kids use with friends is different than language they use with adults or teachers, just like the language that adults use with coworkers or their boss is different than the language they use with their friend group. I think that's a good explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But where do you draw the line, though? Do you go, well, sixth graders, yes, fifth graders, no? Or do you say, well, I got a second grader and she says fuck all the time. So do you then sell it to let second graders check it out? Well, obviously the answer is no.
I Googled it, by the way, because I would like to know what the book is about.
Okay.
So it says Heartstopper is an ongoing young adult LGBTQ+ graphic novel and webcomic series. It says Heartstopper is about friendship, loyalty, and mental illness. So to me, it sounds like it is actually a progressive book. And it makes sense to me, their explanation that kids are more likely to read something that doesn't seem so, quote unquote, Pollyanna, right? Like, so, like, not relatable, out of touch, so old school. But going into what you're saying, Dave, and what she's probably saying, what is the appropriate age? I don't know the answer to that. I think we all agree anything before, at least before middle school, is definitely no. But then you have to make the decision of when then? Middle school, high school, ever?
Well, I think the question is then it becomes, why does the school board get to make that decision that parents should have a part in?
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem. If a school was like, you know what? We're going to go ahead and put nasty sex novels, 50 Shades of Grey, into the high school library. There are probably some parents that are like, yeah, that's super cool. Kids love that stuff. Well, of course they would, but I don't think it has a place in the high school library. So I think the problem is that I don't like about it is that parents don't get a vote. But then again, if only 5 out of 100 parents had a problem with it, do those 5 get their way and not have it in the library?
New question.
Yeah.
That I would have. It seems to me like it is not required reading. It is just a book that is available in the library. So it's not required reading. So I wonder if there is like a, they could look at the history of that book. How often is that book being checked out? Is it being checked out nonstop? So that shows the school this is something that kids want and they're desiring? Or is it like it's being made a big deal out of nothing? Like, no one's checking this book out anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good point. If it's not required reading, then I would have a little bit less of a problem
with
it.
Did they say it's required?
No, they didn't say anything about it. It just is a fiction book from the library than public school. Well, they didn't even say it was a library, to be honest with you. They say it's a fiction book brought home, and I don't think it says anywhere that it's in the library, but I also can't imagine that it's required reading.
No.
Because that would really cross the line with me. It's like, I don't want my kids to read that. Maybe I'm very religious or very strict, and I don't want my kids to read that.
So
I'll leave it open to you. This is a good one to respond to on the Minnesota Goodbye. And here's what I think we should do. We should make a deadline of like 2 days.
Okay.
So we'll read about this tomorrow and then Wednesday, and then we'll be done.
Okay.
Because what happens is people will hear us talk about this on Wednesday and go, oh, I'm riled up. I want to write in. But then we kind of keep reading about the same subject. So we'll do tomorrow and Wednesday, and then we'll move on.
Perfect.
Okay. Last one. Yes, it is the last one. And it's the one with poops. So basically they said single-ply toilet paper should be illegal. They are taking better care of their body with gut health and more water. I am not constipated now, and I poop more often, but single-ply toilet paper should be illegal. I would gladly have my salary cut $5,000 to supply all the office staff with something that won't leave me feeling like I put my butthole on a straight razor.
Just bring your own toilet paper in then, so you don't have to provide $5,000 of your paycheck to people.
I didn't give an F when it was something that only occurs once so often, but now twice a day. F this crappy toilet paper I'm suffering. Is this why some people refuse to poo at work? Because now I get it. Should I bring my own from home, or would that be off the rails psycho?
You'd have to put it in a bag, because I think you'd be embarrassed carrying that to the bathroom. So you'd have to have some kind of like tote you take with you.
I'm going to give you a better solution. Wipes. You can get Cottonelle wipes that you can fit little portable ones in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Or if you're a woman, you can take it in your purse in there.
But don't flush them.
I don't think you're supposed to flush them, but I think everybody does anyway.
Don't flush them.
That's true. But you know what? If that might be a solution for you, then you might want to try that too. And that is going to be it for the Minnesota Goodbye. If you got any emails, thoughts on books in schools or two-ply toilet paper, or especially, I want to know about whether guys leave a trophy poop for other men to look at.
It's trophy turd, Dave.
Okay. Then send that to ryanshow@kdwb.com.